Page 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. O Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory.
O Lord God,
heavenly King, God the Father Almighty,
Let us pray. Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Trinity is from the 25th chapter of Proverbs. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth.
The epistle reading is from the 4th chapter of Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now it happened, as Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man who before him had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Thank you. sermon text is from St. Luke 14, verse 11. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is quite a contrast between the unbelieving pride, which is found in the Pharisees who are testing Jesus in today's Holy Gospel, and St. Paul's exhortation to the Christians in today's epistle. There they are told to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. These two attitudes couldn't be further apart. Pride is a vice. Humility is a virtue. The rulers of the Pharisees have been called to positions of authority in matters of religion, teaching, and practice. We expect them to walk worthy of the calling which they have received. You would think that their concern would be to give glory to God, remaining faithful to the Word of God. They should have studied the Word, and so they could instruct others with sound doctrine. They should have preached the law, showing the people their sins. They should have preached the gospel, comforting the people with the forgiveness of sins from a gracious God. Their life should be examples of virtue for the people to emulate. They should have followed the faith of Abraham and looked forward to the coming of the promised seed, the one who would bring salvation. But instead, what do we find? They invite Jesus to speak at their Seder meal, but not so that they can learn from him. In their pride, they have already determined that he is wrong and they are right. And from their high position, they are looking down at Jesus. They will expose his errors, and they will put him in his place. They will watch him carefully, and they will take note of every false step in order to expose him. Furthermore, they've set a trap by allowing a sick man to enter the house. In their opinion, they will catch him. Yes, doing forbidden work on the Sabbath. Meanwhile, they will boast in their own keeping of the Sabbath. Now, when you consider their actions from our point of view, it is some crazy logic which rejects Jesus and his teaching and yet boasts about some kind of religiosity. But I tell you, it makes sense when you understand that it is pride. Those who exalt themselves are unable to hold on to wisdom and the truth. Their pride keeps them from receiving that truth. Who are we? Well, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are sinners. And it's good to admit actual sins of thought and word and deed. Each one of us is guilty of those sins each and every day. However, we must start by going back, further back, to the confession that we are born sinful and unclean. Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin. My mother conceived me." We are not simply good people who have done some bad things. You see, if that were true, then we would need only to change our actions and everything would be fine. Furthermore, we could even take credit for our change and then stroke our pride. Yes, that's what the Pharisees did. But you see, whoever refuses to confess the corruption of his sinful nature and claims to have a free will in order to do good blasphemes God. Even if that person begins to outwardly do good things, they're still proudly trusting in themselves because they have refused the judgment of God's law. They refuse to be taught. They refuse to follow God's word, to have let God's word have its way with them. But more importantly, when you deny your sinful nature, they will not trust in the free gift of salvation which Jesus has earned for us. The Pharisees are that. They have trusted in the law for their salvation. They've looked down on others, including Jesus. Nevertheless, our patient Jesus desires to engage them in some theology and to teach them from the Word of God. He continues to reach out and to try and save them. He asks them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" They refuse to answer. Jesus knew that they would immediately pull a donkey or an ox out on the Sabbath, so he exposes their inconsistency. In effect, if you accuse me, but you would do this, well, but once again, pride, their pride, has blinded them to their hypocrisy. They are silent and refuse to answer because they will not be judged by the word of God. They will not be judged by Jesus. The rulers of the Pharisees have proudly usurped the place of honor. And when Jesus comes to correct them and bring them back to the truth, they are sent to the lowest place. They must give way to this man of God who takes away the sin of the world. Though they should have repented and trusted in Jesus for their salvation, they did not. They refused to let go of their works righteousness. Their belligerent silence shows that they continue to trust in their own keeping of the law for their salvation. Their pride has kept them from receiving the gift of God. If they had acknowledged their sinful nature, their inability to save themselves, then Jesus would have forgiven them. Jesus would have come to them and said, "Friend, move up higher." Those who humble themselves and who trust in Jesus will receive blessing after blessing. Jesus will exalt them to the position of God's child. Jesus will lift up poor, miserable sinners to the high position of saint and heavenly bliss. Well, that's enough about the warning. Warning about the pride and the judgment of the Pharisees. It is time to see that for Christians, we must apply this same principle in our relationships with our fellow believers. It is not enough simply to be content that we are not being a Pharisee in regard to our salvation. Today's epistle continues to instruct us, saying, The calling with which you were called. We have a calling. Our calling is our salvation. We have been called by the Word of God away from following our sinful nature so that we humbly receive God's call to be His child, God's salvation in Jesus Christ. He calls us and says, "You are a child of God. You are a Christian." So how did we become a child of God? How did we get here? Well, John 3:3 says it this way, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Just as we can take no credit for our own physical birth, we can take no credit for our own spiritual birth. God saved us by the teaching of His Word. He called us to faith through that Word. And now we have received the calling, the position. We have become children of God. And so in today's epistle, Paul tells us we are to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now that we are God's child, to walk worthy of that position. St. Paul is instructing us to live. He says, live like children of God. He begins by reminding Christians, reminding us, that we became that through the free gift of God. That fact alone should change the way in which we deal and interact with believers or even others in general. We're not going to consider ourselves to be better than others. We're going to act with lowliness and gentleness. If we do have more knowledge than another, that doesn't mean that we should put them down. We shouldn't boast about our Christian knowledge. We have freely been given that understanding through God's teaching. If we do live a more Christian way than another, that doesn't mean we have the right to brag about our good works. We shouldn't boast about the righteous living which God works in us through the Word of God. Our God gets all the credit there as well. Consider Jesus. He had the perfect knowledge of God's Word, and He always lived a righteous life. He knew that the Pharisees were proudly trying to catch Him. Nevertheless, Jesus, in all lowliness and gentleness, comes to them willing to teach them the Word if they will have it. Had they rejected the Word before? Yes. And thus Jesus comes with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Our Savior is always reaching out to help a disobedient people, hoping that at last some will come to be saved. So similarly, when it comes to other Christians, especially those in our fellowship, we are not to put them down. We are not to make fun of their errors. You see, many have not had the benefit of a small catechism to break down for them the chief parts of the Christian faith. Many of them have not had the benefit of a professionally trained clergy to rightly distinguish the law and the gospel and teach them. Most modern Bible studies and contemporary services are rich in emotions, but they are poor in substantive teaching. If it hadn't been for God's teaching, you too would be where they are. When we speak up, do it with all lowliness. When we correct, do it with gentleness. Where there are those who don't listen and don't understand, do it with long suffering. When the response is criticism or even accusations, bear with one another in love. The calling which we have received and the Christian walk which we have, where it is worthy of the calling, these two are gifts of God. Our response, humility and thankfulness. On Sundays and when we have opportunities, we come. We sit at Jesus' feet. We wish to learn from our God. And what do we learn? We learn how to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, St. Paul says that this is hard work. It is hard to do this. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring means struggling and striving and laboring. Though Christians have been given a unity of the Spirit through the teaching of the Word, it is hard work to maintain and to keep it. Each Sunday we come together, we confess the unity that we share in one of the Christian creeds, usually the Nicene Creed. The unity that we confess has been taught us by the Word of God, and over century after century, God's children have sat at Jesus' feet. And we have been convinced of the unity of the Spirit in that teaching. But maybe it has become so commonplace that we no longer see what a great gift these creeds are. It takes great work to keep that unity. Why does it take so much work? Because our sinful nature remains and it's always fighting against the calling which we have received. Yes, each person convinced that, well, they have the best idea. Each one thinks that they have the best plan. Each one thinks they know what is best, and he is doing better than all the others. You see, there have been those who for a time sat in the pews with us, and they too confessed this unity by their church membership and by their participation in our divine services. They held to this unity. St. Paul says it this way: there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and over all and through all and in you all. But what do we see? There are many who are no longer numbered among us. They are not here. For some, it was the love of mammon or the lust of the flesh, and it led them away. For others, it was the difficulty of the Christian life that led them to abandon our Christian unity. Some considered themselves too holy. They were unable to bear in love with our sinful weaknesses. Others considered themselves too sinful, and they chose not to be changed by the gentle and gracious God and forgiveness. And some of those, well, accuse us of being too restrictive because, well, we're always holding to the teaching of our one Lord Jesus Christ. What do we need? Our sinful pride needs to be put to death. Our humbleness needs to be strengthened. We need to be taught to live in peace with one another. Now that you have become a Christian, you need to know that you do not continue to live here on earth for yourself or for your own sake. Your Christian walk and your Christian life belong to the Lord Jesus. Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We speak the truth, but with gentleness and lowliness. We're willing to be patient and long-suffering with others. In every way, we bear with one another in love, for we know how gentle and long-suffering God has been with us, forgiving us our trespasses again and again. And we endeavor, we strive, we struggle, that with Christ living in us, that we might be gentle, long-suffering, and bear with one another in love. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Create in me, we stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Amen. Almighty God, everlasting Father, we give you thanks that your Son, Jesus Christ, showed us his love by humbling himself unto death, that we might be exalted to be with him in heaven forever. Let us pray to the Lord. Amen. O Lord, we ask that your church would not give out love and forgiveness based on works of the law, but based upon the perfect compassion of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that all pastors in Christ, our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would humble themselves, by serving the church according to their calling with the assurance that Christ would lift them up. Be with Pastor Randy Mole and Deacon Martin Jackson and the congregation at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Rogers, Arkansas. We ask that you would bless the teachers at our Learning Center along with our director, that they too would be completely humble, gentle, patient, and bear with one another in love. Let us pray to the Lord. Guide and support all government officials, especially those who serve in positions of authority, including our President Joe, our Governor JB, our Mayor Steve, as well as the civil servants and police of this community, that those who have been entrusted with community affairs may administer them in good faith. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-in Carolyn, our elderly Violet. Provide for the needs of Caitlin, Kevin, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Gibb, Howard and Stan, Demi, Shirley, Jack, Linda, as well as Levi. We ask that you would be with our students, with Sarah, Sadie, Jonathan, Kara, Alexis, Benjamin, and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Be with you. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin.
And to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
up, strengthen and preserve the body and soul of the life everlasting. In part, in peace.
thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.